to Finding Organic Matters once again. A whole different approach, and I've worked with people doing this. I'll be honest, I've moved so much around in my life, I haven't got a chance to really to work this long term. But I'm going to give you a whole new approach, at least for part, if not all, of your garden, and it's called perennial vegetables. In other words, you're going to grow more food with less work once you get it set up. The system, in essence, you combine permaculture gardening techniques and edible landscaping ingenuity to grow perennial vegetables. You'll harvest food year after year without replanting, with a heck of a lot less work than growing annual crops, and definitely will introduce you to foods maybe you've never had, but certainly that you will find a very interesting. Let's just suppose that a new agricultural breakthrough promised higher yields, a longer growing season, and a heck of a lot less work. Well, these claims can become real benefits for those of us willing to change our ways of gardening to one that is more closely mimics what Mother Nature actually does. Nature's ecosystems include not only annual vegetables, but a heck of a lot of perennials, edible roots, shoots, leaves, flowers, and fruits that produce year after year. Besides fruit-bearing trees and shrubs, there's well over 100 species of perennial vegetables that'll grow very well in all of North America, some better than others, but there'll be some things that'll fit into your garden pretty much wherever you live in this country. By growing more perennials, you'll create a more diverse garden that ultimately needs less from you as far as input. That just means you'll spend less time working and more time harvesting. It's as close to zero working gardening as I've ever dealt with. By a friend of mine named Eric Tonsenmeyer. He's an author, if you really want to get into this, of Perennial Vegetables. Our perennial vegetable beds planted, I'm quoting him now, 11 years ago, still bear yearly fruit. And all we do is add compost and mulch once a year. And if the weather doesn't come along, maybe water it once in a while. What's more, growing perennial crops extends the harvest season without a greenhouse, cold frame, or any other device. For instance, at least where I live here and most of everywhere you can hear me, you can harvest Jerusalem artichokes all winter long as you mulch enough to keep the ground from freezing, which in this part of the country, I don't even have to worry about. And they're wild growing here, incidentally. For instance, some perennial crops such as sorrel are up and ready to eat by early March, even sooner where I live, maybe even the middle of February. Most of our springtime food harvest comes from perennials. By the time they're finished, the annual vegetables are coming in. So you're getting something from the garden way before we would now by only growing annual plants. And I should emphasize here, folks, growing perennial vegetables doesn't mean giving up your annual crops. You can experience the amazing benefits of perennial edibles simply by rethinking your existing garden plan and pioneering new, in some ways, unused areas of your landscape that may have not have been a good idea or even a reasonable concept before you decided to change to at least doing part of your gardening with perennials. I don't have a world of time here, but I'm going to tell you a little quick setup I've learned and talked about with other people, some of which have been doing it for years. So it's kind of a few ways to perennialize. Designing and planning are really more important now with your, than just your food garden, because after you put your perennial garden in, it's going to be set there for years. So there's a few basic design approaches you really do need to think about. One to begin with is the method you begin perennial edible gardening is to actually expand the edges of an already established, what we call, annual garden. Because perennial vegetables do well in beds devoted only to perennials because their extensive root systems grow undisturbed by digging or cultivating. However, in interplanting with annuals, which you can do once it's established, you can also kind of help make it a successful strategy and one way to control erosion in your garden and even weeds. So what you're going to do really is have perennials interplanted with your annuals. So in a nutshell, all you do is, if you have the area, is go ahead and extend what your garden has been this annual 2-3 feet in all directions. And at one time, till it, get all the weeds out and everything. What I did was cover the whole weed lawn area with about 4 or 5 layers of cardboard, and then top it with a thick layer of wood chips or mulch, and then place compost beneath the cardboard layers if you want the additional fertility. And now, this is going to take a while. This is not a 2-month process. You do this a year ahead, or at least within the first year. Okay, then the grass dies and the mulch becomes rich organic material, ready for planting in the next planting season. And what you can use whatever you to starve out to get rid of it. You can use old newspapers, you can use cardboard. You can even stack it full of grass clippings or heavy mulches. And think about this, if you already have an area even up and along your fences where you're already really growing perennial plants, but mostly ornamentals, you can either intersperse or replace those perennials with vegetables such as kale or sorrel or Swiss chard. And there's a number of herbs that people don't realize grow well in what I'm going to call limited sun, not no sun, but those can all be replaced and become perennial for you once you get them established. One thing that us regular farmers always get, or I want to call, maybe I want to use the word vegetable growers, farmers, broad term, is unlike a lot of the plants we want to plant, not all perennials require full sun and loamy soil the way our annual vegetables do on an annual basis. You grow a lot of perennial greens and herbs. One that came to me that worked, was really successful several years back when I was in Virginia, were leeks. You'll believe how good they grow in partial sun. I had mine on a shady north side of the house, and there were even some trees there. It happened to be kind of a wet site because I had some effluent from my house coming out. And they were, you wouldn't believe how gorgeous. They were prettier, as pretty or prettier than any leeks you've ever bought in a market. And be mindful once you get into what I call perennial gardening, it's not just one level. You can have trees and fruits at one level, and then down below it, you can really plant edible vegetables, herbs, particular fruiting shrubs. One I happen to use a lot where I lived was very successfully was kumquats. And they'll grow in a lot of areas. Make sure they grow if you get too far north. But they were just a takeover as a perennial, and they're wonderful. They taste good. You can make jams, jellies. I guess you can even make alcoholic drinks out of them. There's a name for all that planting, which I hesitate to use because layering comes to me more as a soil thing. But the technique in perennial planting is sometimes called layering. I do want to mention here for those of you that are your annual gardening, this takes a few years to establish. I mean, you'll get some stuff right up front, but this is usually a 3 to 5 year setup that once you do, then your kids can still be using it. So it's a little bit of a different approach to what we call gardening. I always think of gardening as annual gardening, but the payoffs are tremendous once you have the patience to establish these perennial plants. Let me stop here because I can go on. If you want to do this, you need to look up. There's a bunch of books. I named one at the beginning of the show about how to grow perennials. Let me give you a few that I've either had success with or have friends that did have success. Number one, I was up north, well, in Virginia then, was ramps. But you can also do the same thing with leeks. And they're actually relatives to onions. And you can look up either wild leeks or ramps. But the cool thing is, I'm down in zone 8B or something, but these things can grow from 8 up to hardy, actually all the way up to the end of zone 5, almost into the zone 4. And all of this, that even call ourselves annual gardeners, know about asparagus. It's a familiar plant, it's long-lived, productive, bearing delicious green or purple shoots or white if you want to cover them. Asparagus thrives in full sun and moist, well-drained soil if you've got it. For best production, believe it or not, you can actually separate and buy for a few extra bucks. You get male hybrids. And they're hardy again from zone 8 at least up to zone 3. One I got introduced again in Northern Virginia I hadn't even heard of is called the Good King Henry. I never knew what it was, actually what it is. is it's a spinach relative. And it grows in full sun or partial shade, moist, well-drained soil, but it doesn't have to be too moist. You just plant the seeds in the soil and harvest tender shoots in the spring, and they come up back year after year. And again, I think they're probably hardy up to the Canadian border. I don't know if they'll make it to Mexico, but they'll certainly make it to Central Texas. I don't need to mention it, but you can look. There's tons of different kales that are perennial that you can plant. You can look them up. There's some beautiful plants. In addition, they come up year after year if you support them through the growing season. One that lives right here along the ditch where I live is called Jerusalem artichokes or sunchokes. They're actually a sunflower, and here they get 5 or 6 feet tall, but I understand up north they might even get 10 or 12 feet tall. And they make a really nice root that I think actually tastes better than potatoes. Just if you pull them, you go along the road right here where I live and see these beautiful sunchokes along the road and mark them. And when you see the flowers die down, you get these tubers, these almost potato things. And I'll tell you, you use them like potatoes, but they're really much, much more, first of all, much heartier. They have better nutrition, right? Number one. Number two, they have a flavor that is particular to them that you will either love or hate, but I got accustomed to it. And if I had a choice, I'd have it on my plate each time instead of potatoes. Now, as far south as I am, rhubarb doesn't do too well, but it'll do. Now, I want to remind you, though, I did live with rhubarb up in the central part of the country, the United States. I just want to remind you, because I had a friend that did it, you don't eat the leaves or the roots of that plant because they're truly poisonous. So I want to not scare you away, but I want you to understand, if you're going to plant rhubarb, you need to learn a little bit about it. They're a great vegetable in soups, especially Asian cooking, but they have their limits, so do realize that. A safer and probably easier green veggie to grow on an annual basis would be sorrel. Sorrel has its own unique flavor, but once you get used to it, it's lemony almost. So you don't have to have lemon. Great in salads, great in soups. It grows in sun or shade. Average soil, again, great for perennials. It just keeps coming back and hardy and everywhere. I think you're hearing me, unless you're somewhere out of the country. And so sorrel is another plant that you might establish. And don't forget all the berries. Blueberries if you're further north. Up in Texas, probably not. But there's a number of blackberries, raspberries, that grow all across our country that once you establish them with a little bit of cutting back, if you want the maximum number of berries, you have to kind of trim them at the end of every season. But they're total perennials that require basically zero upkeep. Except when you do have to take a little time. What you do, after they bloom out and you get your berries, you cut away the old wood so the new wood can produce berries in the coming season. So anyway, I beat this horse to death a little bit. But look up perennial gardening. You find a place in your yard for it. Find a place, if you've got bigger property, for it on your property, and you will be rewarded, not with just one season of great food, but seasons year after year after year. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.